بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 24th of December in the year 2017 and inshallah now beginning the blessed surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam So just like in the previous surah The surah was named after a holy prophet mentioned within it, I Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. This blessed surah is named after another prophet which is mentioned within this blessed surah, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. So first of all, there's a report. The hadith is in Darimi number 3407, it's Mursal, Mishkat number 2174, and Warul Bayan, volume 4, page 100. Sayyidina Qa'ab, rahmatullah alayhi, relates that our beloved messenger had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite Surah Hud alayhi salatu wa sallam on Fridays. Recite Surah Hud alayhi salatu wa sallam on Fridays. So in this report, which is Mursal, i.e. the companion's name is not mentioned, Qa'ab, one of the senior tabi'een, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates it from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, It mentions that this blessed surah should be recited on a Friday. So, why is that? So the blessed scholars, rahimahumullah, they mention various reasons. So a few of the reasons is that in this holy surah, the holy prophets are mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, what is the link with the holy prophets and Friday? Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he mentioned in a famous report, in Ibn Majah, that on a Friday, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was created. On a Friday, he alayhi salatu wasalam was placed into paradise. On a Friday, he was taken out of paradise. On a Friday, he descended to the earth. On a Friday, he passed away. And then at the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned, and on that day, the day of judgment will also strike. So the day of Friday is linked to the Holy Prophet Adam, who is the father of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and also our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He said, on the day of Friday, increase your salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he himself attributed, increased the blessings of Friday by mentioning the increase of durood upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The other reason the scholars have given is that the Day of Judgment is linked, like I mentioned, to the day of Friday. The hadith I've already mentioned. And also, there's other reports. So this hadith is in Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih, in his Sahih Sunnah al-Tirmidhi, number 3497, and As-Sahihah, number 955, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Mishkat, and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu, he once asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have grown grey head, you have aged. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, the surahs, and he mentioned four, have made me old. And the four surahs he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this surah, Surah Hud, alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah Waqi'ah, Surah 56, Surah Mursalat, Surah 77, and Surah Idha Shamsi Quwirat, i.e. Surah 81. Because these surahs have made me grow old. So, this is a sahih hadith. In another report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Surah Hud and her sisters have made me grow old. So note, he linked all the other surahs to this surah. Surah Hud and her sisters have made me grow old. This is in Tirmidhi. And also in Sa'id ibn Mansur, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi authenticates it, in Sahih al-Jami number 3722, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Hud alayhi salatu wa salam and its neighboring surahs have turned my hair grey. Surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam and his neighboring surahs, i.e. in the Quran, have turned my hair grey. So, why is that? And the response again is because it describes these blessed surahs, describe the day of judgment in great detail. So note, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Mursal report, you should recite this surah on a Friday. Ayy Surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. So now, question. From these authentic reports, first of all, why did Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu say to the Prophet, you've grown old? Because out of his extreme love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they were roughly the same age. And the Prophet, he received a few grey hairs. So it was out of humor that Abu Bakr was saying this. He wanted to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But then the Prophet himself said, it is the Quran that's causing this. So why is that? Why were these particular surahs having this impact upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam? And it was because of us. Because in verse 112 of this surah, right towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, therefore stand firm as you are commanded, you and those who are with you. So in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he mentions, you must stand firm, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who are with you. And then the report mentions, in Imam Ghazali's Ihya, Qurtubi and Ma'riful Qur'an, a man once saw the Prophet in his dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did you declare that Surah Hud has turned you grey? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, because of this verse, i.e. verse 112 of Surah Hud. And the ulama said it was due to his love for us that he caused him to grow old. Why? Because we have to remain firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, stand firm. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those with you. And he knew that we would be weak. So because out of his love for us, he was growing old. So the grey was affecting him because of us. So this shows his unparalleled love for us, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note again, the link with Friday. We should increase our durood upon the Prophet on Friday sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So moving to the blessed surah. Inshallah, we'll be going through up to and including verse 5. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam ra. Ay. This is a book with verses basic or fundamental, further explained in detail from one who is wise and well acquainted, ay, with all things. So just like many of the blessed surahs, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he begins with the glorious letters. In this surah, Alif Lam Ra. So many explanations are given by the scholars. One is that Allah the Almighty and Glorious, the Quran is a miracle. And he's reminding you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's using your letters. And he's produced a miracle with your letters. So a miracle which happened at the time of the Prophet is something beyond us, obviously. Taking a camel out of a mountain, causing the moon to split. This is impossible for us. But the Quran is an amazing miracle. Because Allah Ta'ala has used your letters. So basically he says, look, what can you do with these letters? And what can we do? Shakespeare. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses our letters. And he goes, this is what I can do with it. Meaning miracles. So Allah Ta'ala, one interpretation is, he reminds you of that at the beginning of many of the surahs. I'm using your letters to produce this awesome book. And you're totally incapable of this. The other interpretation Imam Suyuti mentions from the scholars, rahimahumullah, is that just like when there's a great announcement to be made, i.e. when you get, you know, in the old days, when the heralds would come and they would blow the trumpets. So people realize there's something tremendous is going to be, announcement is going to be made. A herald is blowing the bugle or the horn or the trumpet. It goes similarly, Allah Ta'ala is doing the same here. He's heralding people, meaning an amazing announcement is going to be made. And it goes on and on. But simply put, these verses are mutashabihat. They're not clear. But whatever the case, the scholars have given their various views. Then in the holy verse, the very first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitabun uhkimat ayatu. This book has verses basic, fundamental, i.e. clear. But then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Thumma fussilat, further explained in detail from the one who is Hakim Khabir, who is all wise, the all aware. So in this holy verse, Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you the book. There's clear verses in the book, but they are further explained in detail. In fact, one of the surahs of the Quran is called Fussila. Explanation in detail. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the Quran explains itself in detail? So, like with many verses of the Quran, there are other verses which explain. So in Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 44, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have sent down unto you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dhikr, i.e. the Quran, that you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may explain clearly to mankind what has been revealed to them, and that they may give thought. So in this holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains one of the major roles of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says that he has to explain the Quran. Surah 16, verse 44, we have sent unto you the message, the dhikr, that you may explain clearly to mankind. So if the Quran was self-explanatory, you've contradicted the Quran. Allah Ta'ala is giving a role to the Prophet to explain the Quran, meaning the complete details can be given from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gave the profound meaning. In Ibn Abi Hatim, Imam Suyuti, in his Miftahul Jannah, page 58, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, there is nothing except that it has been made clear to us in the Quran. However, our understanding falls short of reaching it. Therefore, he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited this verse, Surah 16, verse 44, and we have sent down unto you the dhikr, that you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may explain clearly to mankind what is sent to them. So here the great Ibn Mas'ud said, the Quran is clear. Allah Ta'ala gives complete knowledge in the Quran. But our understanding falls short of it. Meaning, which one of us can understand the Quran completely? So Ibn Mas'ud said, therefore, Allah Ta'ala has given this duty to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to clarify upon the Quran. So this clearly exposes the illness, fatal illness of those who reject the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they're rejecting the Quran. But those fruitcakes think they know the Quran. We don't need hadith. Quran explains everything. And they quote this verse. MashaAllah. Congratulations. So note, the Quran is explained in detail by the Prophet, and this is being referred to in this holy verse. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And note, at the end of the holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hakim in Khabir. He is the all wise, the all aware. Verse 2. I.e. it teaches that you should worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, verily I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am sent unto you from him to warn and to give glad tidings. So in this holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions the core message of the Quran. And the core message of the Quran is to Allah ta'abudu illallah, to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that I am sent to you from him to warn and to give glad tidings. Nadhirun wa bashir. So if you look at these attributes of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nadhir, bashir. He is a warner and he gives glad tidings. But what is that referring to? So in Surah Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 45. So it mentions there the meaning here. So in Surah 33, verse 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim.
Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidu wa mubashiru wa nadhira.
O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Verily we have sent you, and then the Prophet is given three titles. We have sent you as a shahid, as a witness, as a mubashir, as a bearer of glad tidings, and a nadir, as a warner. So here the Prophet himself explains sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tabarani and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Our beloved messenger, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he sent me as a witness to my ummah. So he witnesses our deeds. And a bearer of glad tidings, mubashira, of paradise. And a nadir, a warner against the hell. And one who invites by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's leave to bear witness to the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was also given the shining light, i.e. the Quran. So in this beautiful hadith, the Prophet explained these attributes of his. Because I am a witness, meaning to my ummah. What does this mean? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, is Hasan and Bazar. He goes, my life is a great deal of good for you. And then he went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my passing is a great deal of good for you. Because your deeds will be shown to me. If I see good, I will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I see other than this, I will pray for your forgiveness. Subhanallah. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shown our deeds. If he sees good, he praises. If he sees evil, he prays for your forgiveness. This is what it means. He's a shahid. So Allah Ta'ala conveys it to him. This is the meaning. Then he says, I am a bearer of glad tidings. Of what? The Prophet said, paradise. I am a warner of what? Hell. Then he went on to mention verse 46 of Surah Ahzab. So here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am sent to you from him to warn and to bring glad tidings. Of what? To warn you of hell and to bring you the glad tidings, i.e. of paradise. So whenever you hear these beautiful titles, this is what it's referred to. Now if you look at the beauty of the Quran, in the very first verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, how does He describe Himself? Hakimin Khabir. I am the all wise, and I am the all aware. Then in the next verse, how did He describe His beloved? He goes, Nadiru wa Bashir. Look at the beauty of the Quran. Right? In the first verse, Allah is praising Himself, mentioning His attributes. In the second verse, He mentions the attributes of His beloved. So note, the theme of the surah is Tawheed. Why? Because this is a Makkan surah. Verse 3. The Prophet is told again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I to preach. Seek the forgiveness of your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turn to Him in repentance, that He may grant you enjoyment good, i.e. and true, for a term appointed, and bestow His abounding grace on all who abound in merit. But if you turn away, then I fear for you the penalty of a great day. So in this holy verse, the Prophet instructed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mention to us, seek forgiveness and turn in repentance. So two commands are given. وَأَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا. So what is the difference? So our beloved messenger, he mentioned both. He goes, when a person repents, then he is forgiven the sin completely. No matter how many times he committed it in the past. And it greatly pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a very famous report recorded in the Sahih, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that there was a man, and he's traveling through the desert, and he's got his provisions with a camel, and then he rests under the tree. And then, as he wakes up, to his horror, his camel and his provisions are lost. So he's now in the desert. He's thinking, I'm doomed. I can't get back to my habitation. I can't go forward. So in desperation, he's looking, he can't see anything. Then he finally realizes death has come. So he puts the shrouds on and he lies down under the tree, waiting for death. But then, just as he gives up all hope, his camel returns. And then in ecstasy, trying to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he messes the words up. He goes, "Oh my Lord, you are my servant. I am your Lord." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he doesn't mean that. He's just so ecstatic, he gets the words wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a servant repents, Allah ta'ala is more pleased than that servant. Think about that. Subhanallah. You pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too much because you've repented. Therefore, repentance is a treasured state. It's a deed that only we can do, and the jinn. The angels don't do, they can't repent. They've got nothing to repent for. So this is why people don't repent. So Allah ta'ala knows that you're weak. So He's giving you istighfar. The verse is telling you this. وَأَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Seek forgiveness and repent. Istighfar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you commit a sin, seek forgiveness. But he didn't put a condition on that you go back to the sin. Meaning at least ask forgiveness. At least ask forgiveness. Some people don't even do that. Whether you commit a sin, do you ask forgiveness? No, I'm munafiq. Hasan al-Basri goes, that's double. Shaitan's giving you a double slap. One, he's tricked you into the sin, and now he's telling you not to ask forgiveness. So you definitely ask forgiveness. This is why one of the great names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghaffar. Now what does that mean? He means the one who forgives again and again. The perpetual forgiver. So what's the attribute for? Istighfar wa tawbah. You work here. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Bazaar, authentic, seek forgiveness until shaitan gets tired. Right? Meaning, what's the matter with you? Why are you asking forgiveness? But tawbah is superior. So here note, Allah ta'ala gives you great encouragement, great hope. He goes, do tawbah, seek forgiveness. Do both. Right? But if you can't do tawbah, seek forgiveness. Then it says something very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that He may grant you enjoyment, good and true, for the term appointed. يُمَتِّئُكُمْ مَتَاءً حَسَنًا. What does this mean? In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Qatada rahmatullah alayhi, he recited this portion. يُمَتِّئُكُمْ مَتَاءً حَسَنًا. That He may grant you enjoyment, good, for the term appointed. He explained, this means the worldly life. Then Qatada recited, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّا وَيُؤْتِقُ الَّذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا, and bestow His abounding grace on all who abound in merit. He said, this means the hereafter. Subhanallah. So in this holy verse, what's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? He goes, seek forgiveness, repent, and if you do that, I will grant you enjoyment for a temporary time. I will grant you enjoyment, hasana, beauty, for a temporary time. Qatada said that refers to the world. Meaning when you repent, you do istighfar, it has a very strong impact in your worldly life. But then Allah ta'ala says, more importantly, and He will bestow His abounding grace on all who abound in merit. This is the akhirat. So here, one of the misconceptions is clarified. People think that if you live a righteous life, you will have to lose out in the world. But the Prophet himself is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's not true. The hadith is in Ibn Majah, and it's a sahih hadith. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember frequently the terminator of pleasures. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most intelligent person is he who remembers death most frequently and prepares for it the hardest. Then what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He thereupon said, he will be given honor in this world and nobility in the hereafter. So which part of the hadith is striking? The world. A person was hanging a minute. If I'm preparing for death and I'm going, you know, all out for the akhirat, the Prophet didn't say you've lost the dunya. You'll be given honor in this world and nobility in the hereafter. So that's a hadith. The Quran is telling you the same if you bother studying it. Verse 3. If you seek forgiveness, do tawbah. I will give you enjoyment for a temporary time, i.e. the world, and bestow my abundant grace on all who abound in merit, the hereafter. So this is so important, especially to people who want to embrace Islam. Some people give the impression, you've destroyed the world. Well, don't worry, you've got the akhirat. Who told you to say that? But it's another thing, sacrificing. Sacrificing from the world. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ahmad and Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, to Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, O Mu'ad, avoid luxury. The chosen servants of the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, avoid luxury. So this is a higher level. But generally speaking, you can get the goodness of this world on a bare minimum level, as long as you obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse 4. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your return, and He has power over all things. So how many times in the glorious Quran does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention that you will return to Him? The most famous example is when you hear some bad news and you are told to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong and to Him we shall return. Meaning that what's happened was it was the will, and Allah ta'ala took back what He gave. He gave you something, He took it back. And this is what one of the great companions, Sayyidina Anas's mother, Salim radiyallahu anha, beautifully said to Abu Talha. During the day, Abu Talha and Salim's son passed away. But Salim didn't tell Abu Talha. What happened was, he came back from the masjid and she's wrapped her son up thinking, and it looks like he's still asleep, but he's died. So when Abu Talha enters, this is in Sahih Bukhari, how is my son? So Salim goes, he's at peace. Then the report says that they have intimacy that night, husband and wife. Then the next day, Salim says to Abu Talha, if somebody gives you something, and one report says the neighbor gives you something, and after he or she is giving you this, after some time, he wants it back, is there anything wrong with that? So Abu Talha radiallahu anhu said, of course not, because it's theirs in the first place. Then she said, Allah Ta'ala gave you a son. He's taken the son back. So Abu Talha is furious. He goes, you told me now. He goes, and you made me do what I did. And then he's so upset, he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to Abu Talha, did you have intimacy with your wife last night? And he said, yes. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he will be blessed with another son. And that son was born and he had so many qaris from his lineage. So the key point here is, what did Salim say? Nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he goes back to him. When you are going on a journey, when you're making a dua for the journey, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Glorified and free from all imperfection is He who has given this to us, this transport, and to him we shall return. So why are we mentioning return again? Because this is a temporary journey. Allah Ta'ala is reminding you that you're returning to Me. Don't forget the major journey. Right? So here again, Allah Ta'ala says, you are returning. And that's why there's a report from the Salaf. Because you will either return to your Lord as a beloved family member who's been away for a while, or a renegade slave who has been caught back in chains. Right? So this is not, you have to return. The choice is yours. Beloved, or somebody who's been caught out. Then it says, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Not once in the Quran does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say He has the power to do everything. Not once. He always says, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He has power over all things. So this is Tawheed. Meaning, the things that our Lord, and the wording is very hard to put, the things that is not possible for our Lord is because of His greatness. Right? The things which are not possible for our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is because of His greatness. Now why is that important to highlight? Somebody goes, well, isn't that the same as saying that He has power to do everything? No. Because of His greatness, He cannot, for instance, throw you out of his kingdom. So if he cannot throw you out of his kingdom, why is that not possible? Is that because of a weakness? No, because of his greatness. His kingdom never ends. So here Allah Ta'ala is reminding you that he has power over all things. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ كَدِيرٍ. So note the importance there. Verse 5. Behold, they fold up their hearts that they may lie hidden from him. Ah, even when they cover themselves with their garments, he knoweth what they conceal and what they reveal. For he knows well, i.e. the innermost secrets of the hearts. So this is a very interesting verse. So what is Allah the Almighty and Glorious saying? If you just look at the translation, behold, they fold up their hearts. How do you fold up your heart? That they may lie hidden from him. Then they cover themselves with their garments. For he knows what they conceal. So there's a few reports mentioning what this is referring to. And the report is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. And he mentions Abdullah ibn Abbas, he recited this verse, i.e. verse 5 of Surah Hud. And one of the Tabi'in asked him, i.e. Muhammad ibn Abad ibn Ja'far rahmatullah alayh, he said, what does this mean? What does this verse mean? Or cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied, these are people who were ashamed, i.e. they have haya, of one stripping themselves and exposing themselves to the sky. They, number two, they have relations with their women and they feel haya that they become exposed to the sky. This verse was revealed about them. This is in also in Fath al-Bari, number 4681. So simply put, Ibn Abbas said this verse is praising the people of haya. When they go for the call of nature, when they take their clothes off, they feel ashamed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want to be, you know, shown nakedness in his presence. But out of necessity, they have to do it. For example, when you have a shower. Or when you go to your wives, they still feel that embarrassment. So Allah Ta'ala is praising them, Ibn Abbas said here. They're trying to fold their hearts because nothing's exposed from me. Nothing can be hidden from me. This is the first. In the second report, it mentions, again, this is in Sahih Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, number 4682. The report from Abu Usama, he says, they would approach their wives for intimacy or answer the call of nature after covering themselves due to their hatred of having their aura exposed to the heavens. So even when they go for the call of nature, they feel so shy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they cover themselves. Allah Ta'ala is referring to this. He's praising them. Because look at this you know, connection that they've got with my greatness. Knowing full well they can't hide from me. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So simply put, three things. Haya is shown. When you take your clothes off, that's why walking about with your aura exposed without necessity is greatly disliked. Some say it's sinful. You're sinful for doing that. But ulama agree it's greatly disliked. For instance, some fruitcakes, they sleep naked. So what are you doing? Because I feel comfortable. This is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are, he knows everything, doesn't he? So no point hiding from him. There you go in it. Secondly, when you go for the call of nature, you have to expose your thighs and your private parts. That's the second time you show them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is, of course, when you go to your wives for intimacy. But this is something Allah Ta'ala loves, i.e. that connection. And this is why, if you look, there's so many, you know, examples. For example, Uthman, the third Khalif, radiallahu anhu, the report in Ahmad mentions that he wouldn't bathe naked. He never bathed naked. He would have some sort of like very fine clothing on to cover his odor. So the water would get beneath, but he would not even straighten his back when he bathed. So imagine, right? He wouldn't straighten his back. He'd be in a dark area and he'd have something covering his odor and have a bath over that. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about Uthman? Because the angels are shy. This is in Sahih Muslim. For us, he says, have shyness for the angels. He reversed it for Uthman, because the angel is shy of him. And then you got Abu Musa al-Ashari. The hadith is in Hakim Sahih. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he once saw some people, and the people were bathing in a river. And he absolutely was in shock. He goes, I would never have done that, even if some, if this happened to me or this happened to me. So this shows the Sahaba had a very, very high level of haya. Now, well, God knows what's happening, isn't it? Playing football will catch on, right? You know, Salah, but you know, Salah, but difference of opinion, difference of opinion. Good to you, good for you, mate. So now, haya, just to mention a few things. So this report is in Tabari in his tafsir. Mujahid, he recited the verse, Surah 55, verse 46. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. But for he who feared the position of his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, are two gardens. So look what it says in the Quran. It doesn't say you fear your Lord, because you fear the maqam, the position of your Lord. Look how these things are missed. People read Quran like, you don't know, they're in the race or something, right? Because we're racing for, brother. Mujahid explained this verse. He goes, this refers to a person who is about to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion, but then remembers having to stand before him. Then out of fear, he does not disobey. Allah. So who's Allah ta'ala praising in this verse? He who fears the position of his Lord has two gardens. This is the one who's in private, and he's just about to commit a sin, but then he stops banging his flex. Allah ta'ala loves that. He promises two gardens, two paradises for him. Right? If you study Quran. But what's this position? That's the position of, because he's shamed, because what am I doing? In private, I'm big saint. In public, I'm a big saint. In private, biggest shaitan on earth. What sort of a joke is that? Imam Ahmad, he put it in another beautiful way, rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz ibn Qayyim in Uddatu Sabirin. Imam Ahmad said, chivalry, nobility, is to abandon what you desire because of what you fear. Subhanallah. Chivalry, nobility, is to abandon what you desire because of what you fear. So what sins do you commit in private? A lot of them are to do with desires. Then he goes, right, why didn't you do it? I feared. You're a noble person. Who says you're noble? Chip shop goat. Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayh. He goes, this is a chivalrous person. This is a noble person. Why? The Quran's crazy. And look how beautiful. You have got a desire. You don't deny it. Some people come around, brother, you shouldn't have these desires. What? Are you a human being or you're a donkey? Astaghfirullah. Everybody has these desires. But to control it is what Allah ta'ala loves. Out of fear for him. Bishr ibn al-Harith, Bishr al-Hafi, rahmatullah alayhi, he said in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, you will not find the sweetness of worship until you place a steel door between yourself and your desires. You will not find the sweetness of worship until you place a steel door between yourself and your desires. How many times do people say, oh, I'm praying, brother, but I was thinking of football. I'm reading Quran, I'm thinking of what I'm going to eat. I'm in a gathering, I'm thinking about EastEnders. And then a person goes, brother, so you haven't got sweetness of worship? No. Stop sinning in private. Then he goes, oh, brother, what's that going to do with anything? Who told you, though, how is that affected this? There you go, innit? Bishr al-Hafi said, you will not taste the sweetness of worship until you place a steel door between yourself and your desires. It impacts, look at how interesting, it's impacting your worship. No matter what happens, you will not taste it. But Allah Ta'ala gives you, and this is why some of the ulama said the two paradises promised, the first paradise is on earth. Because you taste the sweetness of worship, you're losing out big time. But shaitan goes, you've done a good deal. Go and do istighfar, commit the sin. You haven't done a good deal. He's destroyed your sweetness of worship. And one more, just to mention. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Qutayba in Uyun al-Akhbar. Ibn as-Samak, rahmatullah alayh. Look at this. Try to live your life according to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tolerated your sins until it is almost as if he has overlooked your sins. Will you not have haya towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now? For how long you have not had haya? So Ibn As-Samak, again from the Salaf, rahmatullah alayh, he goes, isn't that true? You commit so many sins in private, then you actually start going to that delusion. Oh yeah, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven. Who said you're forgiven, mate? Did Jibreel al-Islam come down? Who said that? Must be shaitan. He goes, right, I've got it. Yeah, right, brother, yes. Then he goes, right, so you committed that sin, I don't want to know about it. Keep it in the closet. Right? And then he goes, right, you've been committing it. Yeah, doing it all the time. MashaAllah. Now, I think it's time to show haya. But before he starts coming out with another gibberish statement, show haya now for all the time you didn't have haya. In other words, forget about being pious. Do haya now. As if to say, Ya Allah, from now on, I'm not going to do it. This is my repentance. Look how beautifully they're working on you. Because they know how to touch the heart. Because they're people, and these are people who are purified. Not just people that you get now talking, and the next minute he's at it himself. Astaghfirullah. This is why Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, words from the heart reaches the hearts. Words from the mouth hardly reach the ears. Now why did they talk about haya so much? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, haya, Islam is haya. He summed up the entire religion, haya. Then a person goes, mashallah, you quoted hadith. Where's that in the Quran? It's verse 5 of Surah Hud. So he quickly scrambles Quran. He reads it. So let's read the translation. Behold, they fold up their hearts that they may lie hidden from him. Ah, even when they cover themselves with their garments, he knows what they conceal and what they reveal. For he knows well the innermost secrets of the hearts. Because what's that going to do with hair? Oh, you don't know the verse. So you're distant from Quran as well. You know who Ibn Abbas is? No, another problem. Ibn Abbas said he's praising the people of haya. They can't even take their clothes off out of haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they go to the call of nature, when they're taking their clothes off, when they go to their wives. And that's why, what did Shaitan say from day one? I will strip them of their garments. He said that. And look at the society of the unbelievers. They're obsessed with stripping your clothes off. Imagine, what's this nudist colony they're on about? Nudist. We were born like this, and we're living like this. But there you go, Shaitan thinking, well, mission accomplished. There's nothing left to strip. What are they going to take off now? They're vol, right? Right? So note how interesting. That is a sign of a diseased society. The Muslims, covered. The women, covered. The men, decent clothing. Right? So this is a sign of health. And look how strange. Even when they're selling you products, they've got scantily dressed women selling you something. What's she going to do with the car? They're selling you a car. What's that woman doing there? They're selling you some food. Woman's there again, half dressed, scantily clad. There you go, shaitan, left, right, and center. And the amazing thing is, their fitra is so polluted, they attack you. This is what's wrong with you? What's wrong with this? Why does your wife fully cover up? Look how ajeeb. You should be asking them, well, why is your wife walking around without hardly any clothes? But you're asking me, why my wife's covered? Then he goes, you've oppressed your women, and you've liberated them. Good for you, innit? MashaAllah. So note here, Allah Ta'ala is praising haya. So note, and also just to add, there's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Abbas recited this portion of verse 5. Yastaghashoon, they cover themselves. He explained, this means they cover their heads. Look how amazing. So in the middle of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about these noble souls. Yastaghashoon, they cover themselves, they cover their heads. Now why is that interesting? One of the sunnats, definitely of the Salaf, maybe from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you go for the call of nature, is to cover your head. It's from the hadith. And even when he was in his bedding, he would have his head covered, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's explaining Quran. He's the living Quran. A person goes, why are you covering your head when you go to the toilet? The Prophet did it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Look how amazing that is. The Quran is telling you that Allah Ta'ala is praising these individuals. When he says, yastaghshoon, they cover themselves. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu said, oh people, he goes, have haya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cover myself even when I go for the call of nature. I, if he didn't have something, he'd put his hand over his head. He had that much haya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now people, relieving themselves, the old days they had papers, reading paper. Now it's mobile phone. Is that haya? Right? And when you leave the privy, look at the du'as that you're actually, you know, if you think about the du'as, you enter the toilet. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuth wal-khaba'ith. In Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you enter the toilet, enter with your left foot, and then say, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from the khubuth wal-khaba'ith. In our language, when you say khabis, look at this khabis. What does that mean? It means look at this shaitan. But it doesn't really mean shaitan, it means like a degenerate. The same word the Prophet used. I seek refuge in you from the degenerate ones. Why? The shayateen live in toilets. You don't start reading newspaper with shayateen, mobile phone with shayateen. You're in and out. That's where the toilet is. Then what happens? When you leave the toilet, right foot comes out first. The Prophet said in Ibn Majah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ghufranak. I seek forgiveness. So a person goes, hang on a minute. I just entered the toilet, did my business, and I've come out. What am I seeking forgiveness for? I didn't commit any sins. The ulama said, you seek forgiveness because you can't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the toilet. Forgive me, Allah. In other words, I can't remember you. You've told me not to do dhikr. Right? So note these beautiful du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of this can be deduced from this sacred verse. So I'll recite the verses. And we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام را كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم منه نذير وبشير وأن استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه يمتعكم متاعا حسنا إلى أجل مسمى ويؤتي كل ذي فضل فضله وإن تولوا فإني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم كبير إلى الله مرجعكم وهو على كل شيء قدير ألا إنهم يثنون صدورهم ليستخفوا من ألا حين يستغشون ثيابهم يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون إنه عليم بذات الصدور. And we've completed the 11th juz with these verses. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives us for any errors which we have made inadvertently uttered. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر